Our speaker this morning, President Joseph Fielding Smith, comes from a very distinguished line of church leaders. His grandfather, Hiram Smith, was patriarch of the church and the brother of Prophet Joseph Smith. His own father, Joseph F. Smith, was the sixth president of the church. President Joseph Fielding Smith, our speaker today, who's the 10th president of the church, does not, however, come into his present position by any hereditary right, but because of his own faithfulness, long service, and leadership in the church. He was called to be an apostle at the age of 33 and served until called to be president last year by the Council of the Twelve and sustained by the unanimous vote of the church in conference as a member of the Council of the Twelve altogether for some 60 years. At the time he became an apostle in 1910, the membership of our church was less than 400,000. It's now nearly 3 million. Since 39, he has been not only a member of the Board of Trustees of this university, but also chairman of the executive committee of this institution until he became president last year. In other words, he was chairman of our executive committee here for some 30 years. And at the time he became chairman of the executive committee of this institution, the student body of this institution was about 2,700. And as you know, it now has a membership of over 25,000. He's the author of 24 books, and the one thing that impressed me as much as anything else was that he personally prepared and typed the manuscript for each of these 24 books. An outstanding authority on the scriptures, President Smith served for 44 years as church historian. The impact of his keen insight in the gospel has been felt throughout the church, and he served for many years as president of the Genealogical Society of the church. This morning, he's to receive the Archibald F. Bennett Award from the Brigham Young University Society for Local History and Genealogy. That award is named after one of our great church genealogists and a former member of this university who passed to his reward some 5 years ago. And in that connection, we should like to recognize this morning the presence of Sister Archibald F. Bennett and her son-in-law, and his wife, brother and sister Delbert Roach. If they will please stand, we'd like to recognize them. Brother Roach is head librarian of the Genealogical Society of the Church. And at this time, I should like to call upon David Pratt, faculty advisor to the BYU Society for Local History and Genealogy, to briefly explain this Archibald F. Bennett Award and to make the presentation to President Smith, after which he will address us.
Truly, we are a peculiar people. While the debate still rages on most universities of the relevancy of what's happening now versus the irrelevancy of the past and the future, we are met here today to reconfirm our faith in the continuity of man. And we renew our belief and express our love for all men, living, dead, and yet unborn. That Brigham Young University pays more than lip service to this concept can be seen in the development of the genealogical program on this campus in the last 10 years. From two courses, we have now arrived at the point where a student can major either in a 2-year or a 4-year baccalaureate degree program and spread this knowledge of this discipline of genealogy throughout the church. To aid us in this program, the church has officially allowed Brigham Young University to sponsor a research center where students can work their way through school while performing a service doing genealogy for all those who feel the need of professional help. our own faculty and our students who are majoring in this area have formed together in a local university club to express and stimulate enthusiasm amongst all of our students for this field. And as part of the club activities, the students decided last year what would be more fitting than to make an annual award to that person who has done the most for genealogy. And this award, it was decided, should be named in honor of Archibald F. Bennett, who undoubtedly was the pioneer in developing genealogy as a discipline and receiving worldwide recognition for his efforts in research. And we're happy that his widow is on the stand today with us, and that we were allowed last year to present the award with her receiving it in behalf of her husband. We presented the award posthumously to Archibald F. Bennett. This year, it is our great privilege, and we're so thrilled, President Smith, that you're here with us, to accept the award as undoubtedly the man who has done the most spiritually for genealogy and the concept of all mankind becoming united. I know that President Smith, as a young apostle, under President Heber J. Grant, was a driving force to see that genealogy should be recognized as a program that all of us in the church must devote ourselves to. For his long years of service as both church historian and president of the Genealogical Society, and I feel most important of all, as being the man who undoubtedly has written more and spoken more on the true meaning of the spirit, mission, and power of Elijah, we are happy to present this award. And I think most important of all, because Joseph Fielding Smith is the only man on earth who holds the keys of Elijah. And I testify to you that by that power, it is only through the keys which he holds that we have the fullness of the priesthood upon this earth and the right to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. President Smith, we would like you to come forward. We'll ask President John Lang of our local society for genealogy on Brigham Young University to read the award and present it officially to our prophet.
This award, entitled the Archibald F. Bennett Award, presented to Joseph Fielding Smith in recognition of his many outstanding contributions to genealogical research and the promotion of the same among the Latter-day Saint people, this 12th day of the month of January, in the year of our Lord 1971, by the Brigham Young University Society for Local History and Genealogy, signed by myself and Brother Pratt.
My good, faithful brethren and sisters, and the students who are attending the Brigham Young University, who are here assembled, I'm very happy to be with you on this occasion and to accept the Archibald F. Bennett Genealogical Award for two reasons. First, this award singles out and emphasizes the tremendous importance of the doctrine of salvation for the dead and reminds all of us of the responsibility we have to comply with the terms and conditions of the Lord's laws in this field. And second, it stands as a witness to the devotion and good works of Brother Archibald F. Bennett, who labored with unwearying diligence to encourage the saints to seek after their dead and to perform the ordinances of salvation for them in the temples of the Lord. I think it would be appropriate for us on this occasion to turn our attention to this glorious doctrine of salvation for the dead. It is a doctrine which shows forth the love and mercy and justice of God in His dealings with all of His children. Not only those whose privilege it is to receive the gospel in this life, but all those who have the privilege, but who are nevertheless precious in the Lord's sight. As members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, we are a blessed and favored people. The Lord has restored to us the sealing power, the power to bind on earth and have our acts sealed eternally in the heavens. This sealing power is the same divine authorization received by Peter in the fullness of the Lord's promises. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whosoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whomsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. It was given to Elijah the prophet, to the prophet Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowdery, on the third day of April of 1836 in the Kirtland Temple, and it now resides in the church and will continue to do so to the end of time. To understand what is involved in this modern mystery of Elijah, ministry of Elijah, a prophet who was translated and taken into the heavens without tasting death, but who now is a resurrected and exalted being, we must remind ourselves of two great truths. One is that we are the spirit children of God, our Heavenly Father, that we are members of His family, that we dwelt with Him for long ages in our pre-mortal life, and that He ordained a plan of progression and salvation which would enable us, if faithful and true in all things, to advance and progress until we become like him. This plan of salvation is family-centered. It leads to eternal life. And eternal life is the name of the kind of life which God our Father lives. This plan of salvation is designed to enable us to create eternal family units of our own, which are patterned after the family of our eternal Father. The other great truth is that God has raised in these last days the fullness of his everlasting gospel. That is, he has revealed anew the law and principles by conforming to which we may press forward in righteousness until we gain eternal life. And he has conferred again upon men the priesthood and those powers whereby they can be sealed up unto eternal life. Now, eternal life consists of the continuation of the family in eternity. And the sealing power restored by Elijah includes the power to bind the families together forever. By virtue of this power, we perform marriages in the temples, which cause the family units to endure for time and all eternity. And it is this same power that reaches out to include our ancestors who did not have the opportunity to receive the gospel when they lived upon the earth. Thus, we find Malachi promising that when the Lord should send Elijah the prophet before the coming of his great and dreadful day, this great prophet would turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers. This is exactly what has happened. Since the third day of April in 1836, when Elijah conferred the sealing power again upon men on earth, there has been a great increase in genealogical research, the result of which is to identify our dead ancestors so that we can perform the ordinances of salvation for them vicariously. Our first concern should be our own salvation. We should seek every gospel blessing for ourselves. We should be baptized and enter into the order of celestial marriage so that we can become inheritors in the fullness of our Father's kingdom. Then we should be concerned about our families, our children, and our ancestors. We should teach the gospel to our children so they will have opportunity to gain all of the blessings of the gospel so that they can have eternal family units of their own. Then we should seek out our dead ancestors and perform the ordinances of salvation and exaltation for them in the temples of the Lord. Our descendants and our progenitors are all members of one family, and we do and should have more concern about their spiritual well-being than that of any other people in the world. The Lord has decreed that all of His spirit children, every soul who has or shall live, has lived or shall live on earth, shall have a fair and a just opportunity to believe and obey the laws of the everlasting gospel. Those who accept the gospel are in harmony with His laws, including baptism and celestial marriage. They shall have eternal life. It is obvious that only a small portion of mankind has so far heard the word of revealed truth from the voice of one of the Lord's true servants. In the wisdom and justice of the Lord, all must do so. And for this cause, Peter says, is the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. Those who did not have opportunity to hear the message of salvation in this life, but who would have accepted it with all their hearts if so an opportunity had come to them, they are the ones who will accept it in the spirit world. They are the ones to whom we shall perform the ordinances in the temples, and they are the ones who shall in this way become heirs with us of salvation and eternal life. I think this doctrine of salvation for the dead is one of the most glorious principles ever revealed to man. It is the way in which the gospel shall be offered to all men. It establishes the fact that God is no respecter of persons, that every soul is precious in His sight, and that all men will, in fact and in reality, be judged according to their works. Now, I thank the Lord that He has restored His everlasting gospel to us in this day. I thank Him for the sealing power returned to earth by Elijah the prophet. I thank Him for the eternal family unit, for the privilege we have of being sealed ourselves in His holy temples. And of making available these sealings, blessings, to be given to our ancestors who died without a knowledge of the gospel. What a wonderful privilege this is granted to us, that we may go into the temples of the Lord and perform the work of salvation for our ancestors who died before the church was established among them. I bear testimony that the work in which we are engaged is true. I know that Joseph Smith is a prophet of God, that he received the revelations, the priesthood, and the keys, and that he set up this church and kingdom of by the command and direction of the Lord. I love the Lord and desire to see his earthly kingdom prosper. And it is prospering. The gospel is rolling forth in the nations of the earth in a marvelous manner. We are microfilming millions upon millions of pages of genealogical data. We are identifying our progenitors and performing the ordinances of salvation and exaltation for them by virtue of the sealing power which we now possess. Brethren and sisters, may the Lord bless us and help us to be true and faithful and keep his commandments, is my prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.